The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock and a happy chilly, my goodness, chilly Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. We got to walk across campus here coming up very shortly.
I thought you were driving.
I am.
Sure. You've got the car
that you
can...
Have you checked to see if I even have a license? You know, when you get old, they take your license away from you.
No,
you're
but
not
I know,
there yet.
I know that you have an app on your phone that'll start your car remotely.
And, ooh, does it turn the heater on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought we were driving.
Why would you buy such a funky car if it didn't at least heat itself up for you?
Yeah, it's like Knight Rider. Tom is Knight Rider. In the studio this morning, we have Panama City Mayor Greg Brunicki. So we're just trying to make the rounds and talk to all of the important people. So here you are. You're in the hot seat.
Oh, great. I'm last.
No, we've got a few people to talk to. But anyway, welcome back to the Morning Mix, Mayor.
Absolutely. I wish it were under different circumstances that we weren't having to talk about recovery after a major storm. But let's start there. Tell us about you during the storm. Where's the mayor go?
Well, I actually stayed in a bunker in the middle of my house downstairs. And we had about 9 people there. And it was pretty scary. You know, I was like many of the people in Bay County and Panama City that had become complacent over the years with all these different storms that it turns out to be a one, or, oh, they shouldn't even have closed the school.
Sure.
You know, this and that. And, oh, it's going to turn, and here's what the European model says. And so everybody in their mind, in my mind, had the ones that stayed. Probably thought the same thing. It's going to be just like it used to be, or it's whatever's happened before. And of course, we all know that's not what happened. I am just so thankful that we didn't have any deaths in the city, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think the death toll was around 21 for the area.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any in the city. And when you go by the first night that I went out with the chief of police and our city manager, and we hacked our way out to get out of where we were staying and tried to, you know, hacked our way down.
You're down
the road
in the Cove.
Yeah, we were in the Cove, and then Mark was up by Southport. The chief was, you know, at the police station. And we got together, and I'm trying to remember how we got together, because we couldn't call each other because of the communications being down. But we did, and we were going along, and I remember going down 23rd Street. And a gentleman that I grew up with, his father, was on a big front-end loader. And there was power wires and power poles that were kind of hanging over the middle of 23rd. And the only way to be able to get them out of the way was to go along and chop the wires down so to release the pressure so that they would fall all the way down. And then you could take the machine and push those things out of the way. And I was thinking to myself, we are not going to be able to have power in this town for 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what first came through my mind. I thought, wow, this degree of devastation, wow.
Well, let me ask you about this, because not a lot of people have talked about going out right after. Mm-hmm. So you were out. How many citizens were out after? I mean, were there people already out beginning to clear stuff away?
No. There was most of the people that I saw. It reminded me of Walking Dead, the TV show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like you were in a funk.
Yeah.
And you just, people just had these dazed look on their faces, like, you know, what happened? It was pretty amazing. It almost looked like a movie set. And so there weren't a lot of people out. And then we were encouraging people, of course, to stay in, because we still had hot,
sure,
power lines out, and you know, we didn't want people accidentally getting hurt. And I could have never imagined that we wouldn't have had any deaths with all the different buildings that I saw that were crushed, and how many people. And I begged people 2 nights before, I was on national news asking people, please leave town. Everything from CNN to Fox, CBS.
So about MSNBC. 2 days before, when you recognized that this was going to be something real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, people's TVs worked then. You know, you had cable, you had all those, mm-hmm. The media was able to be able to get those messages out. But a lot of people stayed that probably should have left.
Do you think that people didn't leave because from time to time the trigger's been pulled a little early on that and the storm fizzled out? Do you think that people were getting just watching other areas and other evacuations where, you know, all these people got on the road and really nothing bad happened? Do you think people had, I guess you'd call it, evacuation fatigue?
Yes. Yes, that's a great way to put it. That's so, exactly what they had, and like as I said in the beginning, you know, it was being complacent and getting in traffic, 50 miles from your house, maybe only having a half a tank of gas or a quarter tank of gas. Going, what? The last time I did this, I went through all this crap for no reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now they're saying, I'm not doing that again.
Sure,
you know, I mean, sure, it's because we've been taught. Or things that have gone on in the past, it, most of the time it's much ado about nothing, and this time it wasn't, you know. So it's but you described it well, because that's what happens. People have in the past not had to, or they've gone through all this trouble. I bought all this water, mm-hmm. I got all this food, and now nothing's happened. And now I got a plan to put my kids in daycare because the schools are going to be closed. You know, and so then they start yelling at the superintendent and getting all, you know, their panties
up.
And fired up, yeah. because that, you know, we directed them the wrong way. So I'm sure all that was part of the decisions.
What can the emergency operations people do to better communicate? Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, everybody, if there's any possibility of danger, the first thing that people are going to do is say, well, if you can get out of the way, get out of the way. How could we as media, how could we help you get people? I don't think we'll have evacuation fatigue in Bay County for a little while, but I think next time somebody tells me to leave, I'm out of here. Yeah. But what could the media do to make it more serious that maybe people would pay attention?
Well, I guess the best way would be to say, remember Michael, you know, now, because there you go. Because in the past, because they could always refer to something else that was nothing before. Mm-hmm. And now the thing is, we put some pretty standard language that we used prior to the storm, which has always been used, is, you know, once it hits 50 miles an hour, we're going to close the bridges.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And we're going to do that because we have to take care of our first responders. So if you are there, we will not be able to get to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to come get you because we can't risk our people because you wouldn't listen to us, mm-hmm. You know, when we told you to leave before. And so, you know, I guess there's so many ways to say something, and you know, there's all kinds of ways to get the message out, but who's going to heed it? Yeah. You know, and nothing better to make people heed it than to deal with or to think about if you were here during the storm in 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess it's always going to be an issue.
Perhaps storing a few of the photos we've been collecting in our file,
sure.
and putting them back up on the website, saying, remember, this is what happened the last time you were told to leave.
As a part of the media, the strangest thing, and I never thought that I would ever have to say it, is to tell people to leave, get out.
Right.
And then to have to, mm-hmm. you know, at a point we had to say, don't leave.
Well, and
you
then
stay.
I remember exactly what Mayor Bernicke's talking about when we had to go on and say, the bridges are closed.
This is it.
You can't pass the bridges anymore. First mm-hmm. responders can't come over. The bridges are closed. You need to hunker down and hope for the best at this point. Like, I remember sitting in the studio when we had that moment.
Absolutely. We're talking this morning with Panama City Mayor Greg Brunicki here on The Mix. It is 9:18. We're going to take a quick break. Music on the other side of the break from the Pointer Sisters here on 90.7 WKGC. You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. It is 9:24 on this very, very chilly, I blame it on Tom, chilly Thursday morning. Yes. You know, Mr. Mayor, we're speaking with Mayor Greg Brunicki from Panama City, and I think we can blame you for a number of things. Is the weather one of them?
Oh,
are
sure.
you in charge?
Sure, why not?
Okay, good.
When
good.
It's sunny next time, give me a call.
Not a problem. We're talking Hurricane Michael with Mayor Greg Brunicki this morning. You shared with us a little bit about your experiences, really literally having to cut yourself out of the cove. Mm. You know, we went down there. My wife and I went down there a few days ago to Well, to I guess to look. I mean, we've heard a lot about it. The Cove is known for trees. Mm-hmm. You're missing them.
The canopy's gone.
Yeah. And it's looks completely different. I've told people that are that typically come this area, during this time of the year, that they'll get lost because you're missing all of the landmarks that you're used to seeing.
But the trees are starting to get some foliage back on.
Well, the ones that you can see, the ones on the ground are turning brown.
That's true.
So they're fighting over headphones.
She took my headphones.
I'm sorry, I just grabbed whatever's close.
Can you talk a little bit about the recovery fund for Panama City?
Yeah, we've established this Panama City, Florida Hurricane Disaster Fund, and we wanted to make sure we put Florida in there because there's people that think, you know, Panama City is Panama City,
Panama.
So we wanted to make sure that we distinguish that from the country to the south.
Sure.
And so. Yeah, this is something that with all the costs involved with a hurricane, you know, we have a certain amount of reserves that mandatory that we keep, plus, you know, a little extra. And in the past, I've kind of been chastised that we had too many reserves. And now it doesn't look like that. But no one can budget for what we have had to deal with from a catastrophic standpoint. I mean, you know, you would not have those kind of extraordinary amounts of money to set aside for a storm, especially something that we haven't had for 100 years here or have ever had here. So the way it works, and it could be determined to be a 90-10, but in most instances, you will get 75% of the costs associated with the hurricane, in which there are many, that the federal government will be responsible for. The state would take 12.5%, and the municipality would be 12.5%. We're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. 12.5% of hundreds of millions of dollars is a lot of money. And so we have to prepare for that. We have to remain a going concern. You know, our economy has been hurt, but it is coming back. We will have a decline in values, so millage rate is based on the value, and it doesn't hit us this year because we've already had people calling in saying, my property tax is going to be less because my house is worth less. I mean, there's a catch-up period,
sure.
Okay? But all that being said, we have to be able to offset that 12.5%, and if we don't create this fund, okay, then is it fair that would be on the backs of the local taxpayers? I mean, they already had their butt kicked. Do they have to have it again? Because they've got deductibles to meet on their insurance. They've got underinsured situations. They've been turned down by FEMA. Now we're going to tell them, guess what? Now you got to pay that part of the hurricane. So it's in our purview to do what we did, and we're going to exhaust all efforts to be able to offset the 12.5%. One of the ways that we can do that is all the time and money that has been donated from charitable organizations that have come here. We get credit for that.
Really?
I mean, all the water that was brought in, all the food, all the labor, all the time of all these people that have sent so much in, the churches, everything, we have to document it well. And we use that because that is less money that FEMA or the state had to bring in because it was donated.
Sure.
So we get credit for that 12.5%, and hopefully we'll be able to offset a lot of that expense with those things that are donated. We've got to document it well. We've got the forms available. Caitlin's going to put them on our Facebook page to make sure that we exhaust all effort to document all of those things that were donated, which are priceless.
Having spent time at the Bay County EOC, and we were talking about that, they've got the volunteer village set up. Do you guys work with them with the county in conjunction with that? I mean, because how do you tell the difference between I donated time to Panama City versus Bay County?
Right, and that's the sorting. There has to be a sorting out of that. So we have to be very careful that, you know, that we don't try to document the same thing they do, and then it gets thrown out. So that's, you know, part of the cost connection process you do in any accounting procedure. We just have to make sure we do it right.
So what's the outlook business-wise? I know we've got some businesses that have had to move out. They've had to go to, I was reading in the, I don't know if it was the News Herald or one of the TV stations, you know, lawyers and such like Harrison and those guys, they've moved across the bridge.
Sure.
And of course they have to. I mean, these folks have to have places to do their work. What's the outlook on the businesses coming back?
Well, I think that any of the ones that were downtown that have gone to the beach, most of them that I have talked to, or any of them that I've talked to, intend on coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know, as you said, in many of those instances, those law firms were lucky enough or smart enough to have insurance, and so included in their insurance, much like if you have insurance on your home, there's an additional living expense that if you live in a home and as a percentage of your policy, there's a certain amount of money that the insurance company will provide to you to go live somewhere else. Sure. If your house is not able to be lived in. Well, the same thing applies to businesses. So I'm sure in many of these instances that there's insurance that's paying for them to have an office someplace else. Mm-hmm. Most of them that I've talked to intend on coming back, but they've got to operate and they've got a time period of whatever it takes to get their office back to where they can use it.
Absolutely. It's 9:30. Let's take a quick break. We've got a weather forecast. It's cold outside, if you didn't know that. But I think that Ross Whitley has a little bit more information besides it's just cold outside. So you're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station, 90.7 WKGC. We're talking this morning with Mayor Greg Brunicki of Panama City. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to WKGC 90.7 FM, your local public radio station. We continue with Mayor Greg Brunicki, and we were just talking off air a little bit about the outlook for Panama City. What does the future hold for us?
I think it's very bright. In fact, I don't think, I know that is very bright. With this storm, you know, what did Rahm Emanuel say, that never let a good crisis go to waste? Well, in our particular case here, we're going to, in many instances, start with a clean slate. And there are a lot of things that we can do now there'll be a lot more velocity to getting them done because of the opportunities that are created because of this storm, talking about the lack of communication, how bad it was right after the storm. Mm-hmm. You had Verizon with 80% of the market, and yet were they ready? Did they provide what they needed to provide at the time? And no. They didn't predict... like many of us didn't predict the magnitude, okay? And so when and they said, well, we wish we would have known, and I said, well, you could have known. I would have called you, but I couldn't, after the storm. But yeah, you know, but the thing is, let me tell you something. They're ponying up, all right? They're making up for, I told them, I said, I akin it to paying for your sins. I mean, we've got a situation here. And so they've made the commitment to make our area 5G. And what that does at so many different levels, from the school system to Tyndall to industry to the Navy base, the colleges, everyone, the opportunities that opens up for us are just unfathomable. Okay. I mean, there's so many things that can happen now because of that, and so that is one thing that's going to be a catalyst that's going to help us in the future. I have a friend that lives in Sacramento. There was only four cities. We're going to be number five, and I guarantee you, before the storm, if you looked at the top 500 cities,
we were not on that list
in the United States.
you weren't there.
We weren't even in the top 500, let alone the top five. So look at the opportunity that's created for us. Get back to my friend in Sacramento, you know, Intel is there, and he said that they're ranked in the top five school systems in the country now in that particular town, and a lot of that has to do with smart technology. Mm-hmm. And so if we can, you know, your city, your county, your region is defined by its healthcare and its school system, and if you've got that, then you will attract what you would like to attract to your area.
Okay. Does it scare you a little bit as a mayor of a city that one of the things that will forever brand your city is the quality of the infrastructure? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a concern at the city level? Because obviously the infrastructure for information that we had here was a tad fragile. I think everybody saw that. And also the response was pre-positioning, the logistics of the response of all the cell carriers was a little on the slow side. Mm-hmm. Does that concern you going forward, or is what is going to go on give us some more redundancy in our infrastructure?
Just as we talked at the beginning of this, and we were talking about complacency, okay, and we were talking about how everybody thought, well, you know, this isn't going to be anything. Well, this storm will define how other companies will be positioned in the future. Remember, Michael. I mean, just think about that.
Right.
When I talked to Verizon, I said, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be the first 2 weeks in February, so you've got all your stuff ready the end of December to move on site, to bring into the theater, to make sure that you've got communications up for that Super Bowl site. You know that hurricane season is September, October, and part of November. You got to have your stuff ready in August. I don't run Verizon, but I think it kind of made an impression that, especially if you got 80% of the market, you know, so I tell you, they have been extremely responsive.
Good.
And they are, I think they're going to do everything that they said they were going to do to make up for what happened. Yeah. And a lot of that, could they have been more prepared? Yes. The amount of devastation, you know, when you got trees, even if you had stuff under the ground, when those trees pop up, I mean, we had all kinds of sewer lines.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, there's in a lot of ways with Michael, there wasn't a whole lot of ways prepare, like to know. And I think with the cell phone carriers, naivete, like I'm one that I knew we'd lose power, I knew we'd lose cable, I knew internet would go down, but for whatever reason, and partly because the last big storm, Opal, cell phones weren't as prevalent as they are now, but I didn't think that we would lose that. Like I thought that would withstand, and so it's just that preparation that it may go, and so how do you handle it then?
I think that the power company, especially Gulf Power and their parent company, whoever that is at this point, they have several, but they did an absolutely phenomenal job at pre-positioning assets. They had transformers and poles and trucks and people ready to roll as soon as the wind died down. Mm-hmm. And lots of them, I heard at one point we had 17,000 extra people on the job here working on this. We had crews from Puerto Rico and Canada here working, and I love the fact that we had done an interview some months back with a lineman, Gulf Power lineman, that had spent some time in Puerto Rico rebuilding that grid, and Puerto Rico reciprocated by sending some of their people up here. I thought that was great. Those guys were great. The amount of work and the amount of efforts and the resources, almost without concern for their own cost, they threw at this to get the electricity back up. When I drove into Lynn Haven from the EOC, I said, like you, I went, it's going to be 2 or 3 months before I see any electricity. I better start finding a place to buy more gas for the generator. Right. And in actuality, it wasn't.
No. The velocity was amazing. The cooperation, putting everybody together, whoever was leading that charge did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. I saw Sandy Sims so many times over the storm, and she was like, the Energizer Bunny, going from here to there, took every call that I would make to her. And Gulf Power really stepped up.
They did a yeoman's job,
and everybody affiliated with them did a yeoman's job.
Yes.
And they met the deadlines. You know, when we could tell people, you're sitting there sweating or freezing in your house or not having hot water or whatever, and you can give somebody a date.
They give some light at the end of the tunnel. They give some hope.
We did the same thing with the water and sewer, and Matt Marshall put together, his Marshall brother put together a team of people to get our water and sewer back in the city.
You guys did great with that water and sewer thing.
Which was phenomenal.
Especially, I was thinking about, what about the Cove? Now, those water lines are old, the sewer lines are old in the Cove, and they have tree roots all around them. So when a tree falls, it's going to pop your lines open. And that happened a lot, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, and the fact that you guys were able to get that back online that quickly was amazing.
Yeah, it was a real test.
What about the business outlook? I know that we've talked about, I've heard of just a handful of businesses that have said that they might not be coming back, but how does the business outlook look for
Panama
City?
It has been terrific. I'd heard from people, well, Target's not going to reopen. So I got a hold of the top brass at Target, and they said, listen, we're... because they sold all their inventory right like 2 days later. Somebody came in and bought everything that was in the store. And the guy said, we were gonna remodel anyway. We need to get all that stuff out of the way. So we're remodeling. We're going to have a better store in January. Okay, so there's another thing that's better than what happened before. Mm-hmm. Now they have the opportunity to go ahead and do that. Paper mill has been phenomenal. People came in from out of town on that issue, and they're housing their employees out there. I mean, they're going, and they're going to be up and running 100% probably within the next 60 days. They're already partially running. Eastern has every intention of continuing their contract with the Coast Guard. The port. The trucks with the copper on them are still flowing.
They're moving.
You know, they're going. I really, other than a few small retailers, everybody has been very resilient, and I think that's. I mean, it's a testament to the kind of people that we have here. You know, and I was telling some people the other day. I had to speak to a church here in town, and they said, "Well, how come the FEMA people were asking me how are people? They have a smile on their face. How are they able to just cope with all this different stuff?" I said, "Because they're seasoned." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Practice makes perfect. They have been helping other areas forever and a day, so they know what to do. Now they've got to help themselves. And when you have that mentality." It's just second nature for neighbor to help neighbor and to do whatever you have to do until the point in time that the cavalry comes in. So, you know, we move with some unbelievable speed from a standpoint of water and sewer and power, Comcast, and they've been in constant contact with me. So is WOW. We should be up with all of that by the end of the month. And, of course, until they get the debris. Now, let's talk about debris. You're not getting debris out of me. Do you know I was over there this morning? And took some pictures of one of our debris fields. We have picked up 24 years worth of debris in 4 weeks.
They're just massive.
24 years worth. We have picked up right at 900,000 cubic yards of debris in Panama City. And it's probably 50% to go.
By midweek next week, you're going to crack a million yards.
Oh, no, we're going to crack a million by Saturday.
Wow.
And the trucks can only hold so much before they have to go offload.
Well, and a lot of what they're picking up is very heavy, too. They're not even, I suspect they could carry some more volume. But these trucks are picking up, you know, logs that are several feet in diameter and putting them in there. And that stuff's quite heavy.
Trees that are 30 and 40 years old.
100 years old. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And so, you know, they're moving quickly. And we're trying to get alleys cleared and streets cleared. You know, some of the roads are DOT. You know, I mean, some of them are state. And so we're pushing from all sides to get the state roads cleaned up as well as all our city roads. And then we've got alleys and there's just so many trees and so much debris. And the more we pick up, the more it looks normal. The more, you know, it increases the hope.
You think we'll have everything, the roads and the debris, both housing and yard debris and all that? Do you think we'll have all that picked up by Christmas?
I hope so.
That would be a nice Christmas present for everybody to have the place looking a little neater.
Oh yeah, and so I think that's our goal, is to make sure that we get that done. So it's important for the economic outlook, you know, so we're doing so many things at so many different levels. We started working on a plan, a 50-year plan, up through the year 2050. Months ago. And so now this has caused us to tweak it some.
It's just a little expedited on some of those things that were down the road.
But you know, fortunately with FEMA, there is now a 428 plan, which they have put in place the legislation last year to where you harden yourself, okay, fortifying yourself so that maybe FEMA doesn't have to come back. So with that, there's going to be funds available for us to maybe put our utilities underground, to do a lot of things that we would not be able to do based on the funding that we're getting. So we are going to exhaust all efforts to make sure that we are avail ourselves to all of those programs to make sure that we are fortified.
Sounds to me like you have an interesting couple of years ahead of you, Mr. Mayor.
Busy as well.
I hope you don't like sleeping much, because I don't think that's in your future anytime soon. But Thank you for coming by today, and thank you for sharing your message with us, and thank you for all the work you've been doing.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys getting the message out. I mean, this was, I mean, there was only a couple of radio stations that were working. I mean, it was almost like fireside chats there, not being able to get information. So, wow. Yeah.
Well, we're here now, and if heaven forbid anything like this happens again anywhere in this area, the WKGC will help out municipalities and law enforcement any way they possibly can.
Thank you.
Well, that about does it for us today. It is Thursday, November 15th. It's at 10 till 10. It's 10 till 10, Tom. And
10
so
till 10.
We will be back with you in just a little bit. Auntie's here. She just walked down the hallway, so she'll be in here to take her seat in just a moment.
And tomorrow, Lynn Haven, Mayor of Lynn Haven, will be Margot Anderson will be with us tomorrow morning, and we'll get an update on what's going on to the north of Panama City.
But doesn't it? I mean, for everything that we have, just hearing what Mayor Bernicke said about the future of Panama City, it gives a lot of hope, and I think that that's what we need right now, is to know that the future's still bright.
Hang on, the future's brighter than the past.
There you go. Stay with us on WKGC 90.7 FM, your local public radio station.